It's the Midnight Radio Network all across America, 800-288-9227. Welcome. Good morning. It is Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here for his monthly visit. If you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. It's a public service of Old Blue USA. You can submit your CMV questions anytime at askthelaw.org. Askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. We want to let you know the information and answers to questions this morning are up to date. As of today, March 8, 2010, they can change without notice. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We had Larry on before the top of the hour, and he was asking about a situation where he was pulled over. He was given a warning.
Yes.
No citation was issued, but he was given a warning, but there was an inspection because he did get an inspection form. So what does this mean for him?
Okay, here's... First off, let's go back and talk about something real quick. If a driver is issued a warning or a citation and it is not reported on a DOT level 1, 2, 3, 4, or 6 inspection, It does not count in the CSA 2010 data.
Okay. So if he had not received an inspection report there, then it wouldn't have gone on to the CSA 2010
data. Right. It, going back to the example with Texas having Highway Patrol and Commercial Vehicle Enforcement.
Right.
If the Highway Patrol stops the driver and writes him a ticket, it's not reported to CSA 2010 data.
Okay.
It's points that goes against your driving record.
Okay.
If a CVE trooper stops and writes you a warning and he does an inspection, because the inspection was done, the warning will show up under CSA 2010. Just like if he wrote you a citation, that data will show up under CSA 2010.
All right.
They do not differentiate between the driver was issued a citation for. Mm-hmm. They look at what warnings were on the inspection.
Okay.
All right. Now then, going back to Larry's. Larry, what they're going to do is FMCSA under CSA 2010 has assigned a value of the violation, and they've given the violation a score of 1 to 10 based upon the severity of it. In this particular instance, speeding carries a 5-point value. Now then, we take that and we're going to multiply it times the how long ago the inspection was. So if it was 0 to 12 months, You're going to multiply the 5 times 3. If it was 12 to 24 months, you're going to multiply it 5 times 2. If it was 24 to 36, you're going to multiply 5 times 1.
Okay.
Then you're going to divide it based upon what peer group you're in. Peer group 1 means you have three roadside inspections. Peer group 2 means you have 4 to 6 inspections. Peer group 3, you have 7 plus inspections. So you're going to multiply 5 times how old the inspection is, Divide that whichever peer group you in, and that will be the score for that violation.
That's not confusing at all. At all. I can see where this is going to play out with no questions whatsoever. I think we're done here. Thanks, Trooper Dial.
Now that I
you
fully
can go
understand.
Home now.
Jeez.
Calculus is easier.
All right. And...
Now, one thing for the drivers...
I don't
drivers,
know about calculus. I didn't study Greek mythology, but...
One of the things that they did grant in the driver's favor Is they have put a cap of 30 points.
Right.
The maximum for any roadside inspection.
Mm.
So if a driver goes out there and he gets a two-pager... The maximum that driver can score on that inspection is 30 points.
Does it matter the the actual extent of the violation. In other words, we know that Larry got a warning, so he likely wasn't speeding at a certain rate. It doesn't. Speeding is speeding. Whether you get a warning or not, speeding has its own weight.
Right. Now, let's go and let me give you one that has the maximum value. Let's say that you're speeding to the point that you're driving reckless.
Okay.
And the trooper, rather than writing you a speeding citation, he writes you a reckless driving citation.
Yeah, like 90 miles an hour.
Your point value just now went to the cap of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you were issued a speeding citation or a speeding warning, you would only be a 5-point.
Yeah. By the way, bull haulers, don't send me an email. I know 90 miles an hour is not speeding for you. That's like sitting still, but we understand. That's okay. And so there is some consideration depending, but
yes.
But obviously at a level where he's only going to get a warning, he didn't appear to be dangerous.
Right. But what they have done is they have gone and basically took every section of the DOT reg book, and they have broke it down and assigned each one of the violations a point from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And I think I've got 30-something pages of violations.
Wow.
And they're anywhere from 1 to 10.
800-288-9227. You got a question about CSA 2010, a question about hours of service? We'd love to hear from you. Trooper Dial is here for Ask the Law. Hours of service. We'll get another listening session. It's coming up during the Mid-America Trucking Show. It's actually going to take place on Friday, March 26th, beginning at 10 a.m. local time there in Louisville, Kentucky, ending at 6 p.m. or earlier, depending on participation. So, in other words, if they're not getting much participation, then they're going home. But if you are going to the Mid-America Trucking Show, Friday will be the day that you can chime in on the listening session from thetrucker.com. The FMCSA will hold its next Hours of Service listening session in conjunction with the upcoming Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville. The show is one of the commercial trucking community's largest annual gatherings, attracting over 80,000 attendees. The purpose of the meeting is to gather information and comments as the agency prepares a rulemaking proposal on hours of service requirements for commercial vehicle drivers. You were able to go to the FMCSA's website and actually look at some of the comments that were being given. You watched some of the recorded version of the Virginia listening session, and you also watched the Davenport listening session live.
Yes.
Anything that stuck out during any of those, any of that information that you got?
Well, first off, drivers, this is your opportunity to voice your opinion.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, four things the FMCSA is wanting responses from. Are about. One has to do with the 14-hour rule.
Right.
One has to do with the split sleeper berth. The other one has to do with the 34-hour reset. And I forget what the fourth one is. But this is your chance. And if you are going to Louisville, and I am encouraging you to participate. But at the same time, if you do participate, keep your comments germane to the topics that they are wanting to get from you. Now, Larry Miner and Mr. Yeager, and I don't know who the third one will be, but chances are those two will be there. And from what I saw from the Virginia and the Davenport, they will step up and ask drivers questions. If they ask you a question, that is now your opportunity to throw some of your personal experiences in there.
Right.
I found that watching Virginia and Davenport, drivers were all over the place. And I think FMCSA, they're wanting to get the rules right.
Yeah.
When they rewrite them, and that's why they are wanting drivers to step up and voice their comments about these four items. So, drivers, if you're going, go testify, but please keep your comments germane to the four topics that they're wanting to. And if you're for them, get up there and tell them why you're
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're against them, tell them why you're against them.
Right.
But they're wanting to make sure, and it's like I was talking with you earlier in studio, you know, of all the times that FMCSA has stepped up and wrote or tried to write new laws, most of the comments that they received were either from safety organizations,
mm-hmm. sure.
trucking groups,
yep.
trucking companies,
mm-hmm.
safety directors, and the advocacy groups.
Mm-hmm.
FMCSA is wanting driver input.
Yeah.
They're wanting to get the drivers involved because they're wanting to make sure that what they write is going to affect the driver the most.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure that the driver has the most input.
As of mid-February, the online participation was under 400, and that counts everybody. That all the comments combined, still under 400 as of mid-February.
Yeah.
That's a low number.
Oh, it is.
That's a really low number.
Yeah.
So you can bet right now we're probably at the 400 mark, maybe a little over 400 comments out of all of the drivers that are out there.
And here again, driver, it's going to affect you, and it's like the old saying goes around, you know, if you don't like who's in office,
yeah.
you're the one that can vote to change it.
Right.
And it's the same way with the hours of service. If you don't like them, this is your chance to voice your opinion as to you like them or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, if you have a question for Trooper Dial, we'd love to hear from you. 800-288-9227, hours of service, any other regulatory item, maybe a comment on CSA 2010 or a question about CSA 2010. We will get you the information you need. It is Ask the Law, and we are back in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can send your questions there. Email Ask the Law. Just click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. All the information, answers to questions are up to date as of today. March 8, 2010 can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial consider to be opinion only. Let's get right to you at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Larry in Detroit. Larry, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I was on these CSA 2010. I got an automatic, one of those red light camera tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Will that show up on that
no.
at all? Or?
No. No.
Okay.
So if there's no, because there's no, is it because there's no inspection?
Right.
Okay.
And also, that's just on inspection then.
Right. Okay. If there's okay. an inspection that accompanies a stop, and you get that inspection form,
right.
then that is going to be sent to CSA 2010.
Right. All right. Most of the red light.
There's it all up. Yeah.
Yeah. Most.
Thank you very much.
Most of the red light camera tickets are all going to be civil.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah. And it's a good thing to know. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Richard in Texas. Richard, you're on the Midnight Raider Network. Welcome. Hi. You're on Ask the Law.
Evening. Question is, are overweight tickets going to count on this?
No.
Even if in conjunction with at a scale, when
yes.
pulled in for an inspection also?
Yes.
So if he's getting an inspection at the scale and he's overweight, that will not count?
No. Weight tickets do not count.
Great.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you very much. That's like a bonus. What is it?
I wonder why.
The thing is, most of the weight laws are going to be under state law. And most of the violations that affect CSA 2010 come out of the DOT regulation book.
Okay.
And most of your weight laws are under state law.
That's interesting. All right, if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. Rodney, stand by. Rodney's in Georgia. We want to give you plenty of time to get your question answered by Trooper Dial.
And I want to get my question in, too.
And Gary has a question. For the first time in 5 years, he's got a brilliant question, and I think we really need to get to the bottom of it. Special investigation by the Midnight Trucking Network crew here in just a few minutes. But I think it is a great question, and he brought it up on Friday's show. During Northland Night. So if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227.
You can go to
askthelaw.org and click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. Again, Gary, what?
I was just going to say it applies to both hours of service, whatever that would be, and
right.
CSA 2010. The
right,
question.
Yes. So,
and it's about intrastate drivers.
Yeah, and if you're an intrastate driver, you're going to want to listen up for this question and find out how CSA 2010, if at all, is going to affect you. So stand by for that. We'll get to that and much more as we line you up. David will screen your calls here during the break and national weather in just a few moments. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with the retired senior trooper Monty Dial, Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
We'll get to Gary's question in just a moment. It is Ask the Law for Monday, March 8th, 2010. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, can change without notice. Go to askthelaw.org and click on the big red button that says Email Ask the Law to submit your CMV questions anytime. Again, 800-288-9227. All the statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. And let's get to your call next.
Let's go to Rodney on 75 in Georgia. Rodney, hi. You're on the Midnight Raider Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
For whatever reason, my company has been slow to put the new IFTA 10 stickers on their trucks. They've got it on some, but not on others. I know we're required to display those decals. How concerned should I be about this? And will it affect me as a driver, or will the fine go towards the company? Any thoughts on that?
Well, first off, Rodney, you don't have to display the decals. The decals are just merely there so that if you go through a inspection or scales, the inspector can look out and see that you've got a current IFTA decal displayed and keep you from having to go park and take your permit inside. All that you're required to have is the IFTA permit.
Okay. And I had one other quick question.
Yeah.
Now, let's say you guys go in under the CSA 2010 and do an audit, and look at a driver's logs, and clearly he's not logging it, you know, according to how he's running it. What are the procedures after that point? You said there was warning letters or something of that nature, and then ultimately fines, I believe.
What happens is the first step in the process, and I kind of use this analogy here. A driver gets put on a merry-go-round. The merry-go-round starts spinning. At some point, the driver's score is going to get too high, and the driver's going to get thrown off. First time he gets thrown off, there's going to be an intervention letter sent. The driver's going to have to sit down, and he's either going to have to write back to his state, or he's going to have to write back to the FMCSA a response to this intervention letter and what he's going to do to correct this problem. Once he does that, he's going to get put back on the merry-go-round again. It's going to start spinning. At some point, he's going to get thrown off the second time. Once he gets thrown off the second time, now then, you're going to have there will be a face-to-face visit, and between you and either the state partner or FMCSA, they will sit down and formulate a plan on what you as the driver can do to correct these violations. Once they are satisfied, the driver gets put back on the merry-go-round, and it starts spinning again. Once the driver score goes up too high, the driver gets thrown off again. Now then, they'll come in and do pretty much a complete audit on that driver. And at that time they can either make the driver sit down and formulate another plan, or they can actually go in and issue civil penalties against the driver. Now, all of this is going to take place on a 30-day basis. Every 30 days, the driver's score is going to be updated. Under the old system, it was updated every 6 months.
And this is a running record of 3 years, right?
Yes, 3 years.
So only time can kind of bring down that score.
Time and good inspections
brings
the scores down.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, right. So what drives up the score in order to maybe, you know, create an audit to begin with? Is that just inspections and tickets?
Well, it's all done based on a value that FMCSA has assigned for each violation. They range in point value from 1 to 10, depending upon, and obviously those that, like reckless driving we were talking about earlier, you know, they look at things that are likely to cause the driver to be involved in a crash. Obviously, reckless driving, if it goes on for too long, there's a good probability the driver's going to be involved in a crash.
Sure.
So if the driver gets caught for reckless driving, that's a 10-point value. Then we start figuring out, okay, obviously it's going to be within 12 months, so you're going to take 10 times 3, that's 30. Then you're going to divide it based upon what peer group you're in. If you're in peer group 1, you're stuck with a 30-point score just off of that one warning or violation that's on an inspection report. If it's if you're in peer group 3, which means you've got 7 or more inspections, that now calculates down to a 10-point value for that one violation.
All right. Well, that's a lot to take in. Hopefully, get my head wrapped around all this.
Yeah. So. Well, and the key thing will be here, Rodney, is obviously you want to make sure that you're abiding by the law of the stuff that you're in control of. Essentially, you're in control of all of it, but you're going to have to be more diligent. All drivers are going to have to be more diligent in their pre-trips. You're going to have to make sure that that equipment is up to standards. You're going to have to make sure that that equipment at all times is going to be able to pass an inspection. And then the stuff that's inside the cab, being you, when it comes to your logbook and everything else, obviously all those T's are going to have to be crossed and those I's are going to have to be dotted there as well. But I think the focus for many drivers, if you're a safe driver and you're always up to speed on your logbook and you always abide by the rules out on the road, then you're going to have to make sure that your pre-trip, that equipment is up to standards. And if it's not, whoever is in charge of repairing, maintaining that equipment is going to have to be notified. You're going to have to be diligent in getting that information to them and telling them that you're not going to drive that equipment if it's substandard. All right.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah. So that's going to be the difference, because again, the carriers have some stake in this too, and the ultimately it could mean that these carriers have their doors closed for good. So some of these substandard carriers are going to go away, and that's going to be the fact of the matter. But when it comes to the driver, Trooper Dial, it's unlikely that they would have their CDL revoked. I mean, there is no situation there, is there?
Under no circumstances will a driver score under CSA 2010 result in the driver losing his CDL.
Yeah.
The only thing that can take the driver's CDL is if he gets too many point moving violations under the state point system.
Yeah.
That's when the driver will lose his CDL or his regular operator's license.
All right. Thank you so much. We do appreciate that, Rodney. Before we get to a break, and we got some more calls coming in, Gary had a great question. With CSA 2010, how does this affect the intrastate drivers? Does it affect them at all?
Yes, it will. And here's what's going to happen. We were talking in studio, and Iowa is the latest state to do this. They are requiring all intrastate drivers to file with FMCSA and obtain a U.S. DOT number. When they fill out the form, it's called an MCS 150, there's a place for them to denote if they are intrastate only, interstate only, or they do both inter and intra. So when they complete this MCS 150, if they are strictly an intrastate company, they're going to check it, which means that when a trooper in Iowa stops them, the data is going to go to Washington, D.C., because you have a U.S. DOT number. But it does not mean that the state is going to get involved with CSA 2010. The state will do it, but not the feds.
Right. The state will do it based on the whatever policy they have in place.
So the state can make a decision, we're going to follow this.
Yes. Okay. It's just like Texas.
Right.
If you are an intrastate-only company in Texas, you have to file with TxDOT to get your certificate.
Right.
If you're an interstate carrier, you apply through FMCSA. When you're stopped at roadside, if we fill the information out to show that you're an intrastate carrier only, that information only goes to Austin. If you're stopped and you have a U.S. DOT number, that goes to Washington, D.C.
Back with more Ask the Law in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Hurley.
All right. Again, go to askthelaw.org and email your questions anytime. Just click on the big red button, email Ask the Law. We want to thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for making this program possible. Again, the information and answers are up to date, can change without notice, and all the comments made by anyone other than retired senior trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's see if we can't get one more comment in before we go.
Let's let
Trooper Dial go.
Todd in Michigan. Todd, you're on the Midnight Raider Network. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi.
First of all, don't take this the wrong way. Eric and Gary, I love you guys. I listen every night.
Thank you, Trooper Dial.
If it weren't for you, I wouldn't know half the stuff that they're doing to us. So I appreciate you, too.
Thank you.
I does take exception with the stickers. I run between Michigan and Ohio here, and over the last 10 years, I've got no less than a half dozen IFTA sticker tickets. I've gotten tickets for having one on one side and not having one on the other side. And the way they explained it to us is they've got till April to put the stickers on the trucks. And if you cross the state line and you don't have it, that's a ticket. So it's always been a ticket to the company. I've never had to pay one.
Well, but that's something though that state requires.
Right.
See, there are some states that do not require the decal. Because if you'll notice, a lot of the decals do not have a number on it.
Right.
All it's got is a year model. You know, the year that it is. So
yep.
how do they know that sticker belongs on that truck?
Yep.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to mention was, maybe a little insight into why we don't have very many responses on this. I've been on the road for 32 years. I got about 3.5 million miles, and the way they regulate us, you know, we're truck drivers. They keep ramming this stuff onto the drivers, and they're ramming regulations and whatnot on us like we're doctors or something. And we're not getting paid to be doctors. We don't have time to go through all this crap and pay all these extra fees. A prime example is this the hazmat thing. I went to renew my license last year. I paid for that once already, the federal investigation on background on you.
Right.
And I went to renew my license, and they go, well, this particular sheet's going to expire before your license is up next time. so you have to go do it again.
Hmm.
So we got to take the time to go and find this place and get a background check done and pay the money again, and it just seems ridiculous. It seems like there's got to be an easier way.
Yeah,
They don't pay us enough money to get micromanaged all the time with these regulations, and then turn around and hit us with all these fees and whatnot. So
yeah. Well, Todd, you're not alone there in your concerns there and issuing your complaints, and we do appreciate the call. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I've heard that the same sentiment echoed by many drivers, and we do appreciate the call from Michigan. We will see you just a few days after the big Mid-America show coming up.
Yes.
And so we'll let you know how all of that worked out in the listening session. We'll kind of take a look back and, of course, take more calls there. Trooper Dial, thank you so much. We
yes,
do
sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoyed it.
It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.